السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كيف حالكم everyone؟ الحمد لله. We are here and we are dealing with our tafsir class for today. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We're still in Surah to Yusuf. And in Surah to Yusuf, we are at the point where Ya'qub was just told that now three of his sons are missing. Okay, Yusuf is missing. Benjamin is now arrested, according to what he knows. And his oldest son, Reuben, is not there. You know, well, we assume it's Reuben. That's the name we've been told. Allahu Alam, exactly the last name, who the name of the child that is missing now, the son. So we go back to the story. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل. He says, rather, is Yaqub, this is something that you guys have made up on your own, this issue. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So the only thing that I can respond with is beautiful patience. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. Now look at his husnul dhan. He says, perhaps Allah will bring them all back to me, all three of them. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. He and only he is the all-knowing one of full of wisdom. وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَّالْ. Then he turned away from them. And he says, يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ وَهُوَ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He says, يَا أَسَفَ, oh, poor situation that Yusuf was in. How sad is the situation Yusuf was in? Okay. Hatta, so he says, وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَيْهِ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. And then his eyes turned white from all his grief over Yusuf. And he was kaleem, not just furious, but he's holding it in. He's trying to control and contain his anger because he knows that they're lying. They know that Yusuf is alive. He knows that they lied to him. And he knows that this situation is not good for any child, for any person to be torn away from their family all these years. Oh, how sad the situation is. Yeah, how sad the situation is for Yusuf. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُسْنِ فَهُوَ كَذِيمٌ. And he's furious and trying to control his rage. What are they saying?
قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفَ حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَدًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ.
They say, قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ. You still haven't stopped mentioning Yusuf? You keep mentioning Yusuf. This shows that this is not the first time. Taftau means you have not ceased. You have not stopped. It's like mazal. Wallahi, you keep mentioning, you keep opening up that wound, mentioning Yusuf. Hatta takuna haradan, until you make yourself sick. You're going to drive yourself crazy. أو تكون من الهالكين, or you're going to kill yourself. هالكا. You're going to destroy your health. This is what they're saying to him. هالكين. And it's some strong language. Because هالكا, Allah uses this word to talk about destroying people. Okay? Or people destroying themselves. هالكا. Total destruction. So it's mentioning that this subject tears down your health. This subject, if you keep doing it, it's going to destroy you. It's not healthy. But what does he respond to them?
قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
He says here, listen. He says to them, إنما, the fact of the matter is, my complaining, my shakwa, my complaint, and my bethi, my extreme sorrow, and this situation that's hard on me, and my huzni, again, this is another word of anxiety, sadness, is only to Allah. I don't never express it to you all. I only do this to Allah. Inna ma shows only. Inna only. Okay? So, inna ma ashku, I only complaining to. And this situation being hard is only expressed to. And my sadness is only shown to Allah. Wa a'lamu min Allah. And I know, I have knowledge of something. Min Allah, from Allah. Ma la ta'lamun, what you all don't know. But I know things from Allah. He's a prophet. He is a prophet, and he knows because Allah has revealed certain things to him. Meaning, what is implied here is, I know that Yusuf is not dead. It might be that he knows more than about what Yusuf's situation is, but it doesn't show up that way. Okay? Wa a'lamu min Allah is the key word. I know from Allah. Ma la ta'lamun, what you all have no knowledge of. Then he tries to talk to them. He says, Ya Bunay, oh my sons. Oh, hold on, my screen is frozen. Excuse me. Ya Bunay, you know, he says, oh my sons, why don't you go out there and tatahassasu ala Yusuf? Okay, F1.
Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhi.
Oh, my sons. He's pleading with them. Idhhabu, go. Now, this shows, this is another time. Some time passes. The time, the show of the time passing is that they're going back to Egypt or to Masr, we should call it, in order to buy more grain. So this means that the time has passed, that whatever grain they had is now gone. And so they're going back to Misra to buy more grain. This time he gives them some more advice. Ya baniya, oh my sons. And we haven't been told how much time. Has it been a year? Has it been some months? Has it been more than 1 year? But it's been some time. Fatahassasu. Go back and try to, the word hassasu is not tajassasu. Tajassasu is to go back, go and be a spy, okay? Go and try to figure some things out and find out what's going on in secret without the people wanting you to know it. What the hassasu is, just go and ask some questions. It's not a secret. Go and ask some questions. Go find out. Ask about whatever happened. If somebody knows of what happened to Yusuf wa akhihi, go find out about Yusuf and his brothers. Wa la ta'asu min rawhillah, and don't despair. Don't think that you cannot get the mercy of Allah. Okay? So he's giving them a lesson, another lesson. Don't think that you can't repent from this. Because remember, he knows you guys have lied. Come with the truth. Don't despair from the mercy of the rawhillah. The ease that Allah can give when you repent.
إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ.
The only ones that are despaired and feel that they will never get the mercy of Allah are the people who are openly kafirs. This is what he's telling them. Don't be a kafir. Don't act like that. You know you can get the mercy of Allah. Okay? Just ask for it. So now when they enter upon Yusuf, this time, the Aziz, They say, Ya ayyuhal azizu massana wa ahlana durru wa jitna bi bida'atan muzja. He says, they say, Ya ayyuhal aziz, O Aziz. And again, them calling him by the Aziz and addressing him in this fashion is, again, he's reached a point where there's acknowledgement. He is the Aziz now. He is the mighty one, the most important man after the king in Egypt. And they say, Massana wa ahlana dur. We have been stricken, we've been touched, us and our families, with hardship. Wajitna bi bida'atin muzja. And we've come in with some, you know, insufficient funds. Okay, we don't have enough to buy. Again, another rule here, we show that maybe we missed to mention, I forgot to mention earlier. Remember, each time they came to purchase. Okay, so we see that the king was giving sadaqah, but at the same time, he was selling the grain back to the people. Okay, maybe it was a nice price they was giving them, but he still was selling it to them. So he says, hey, wajitna bi bida'atin muzja. We don't got nothing really worth that much. Okay? It's insufficient. Fa'awfu lana kaylan wa tasaddaq alayna. So give us the full value of what we have and give us more than that. You know, tasaddaq. Give us some charity. Inna allaha yajzi al-mutasaddiqin. Inna allaha, the fact of the matter is, Allah yajzi, he rewards those who seek to give sadaqah, who go out of their way to give charity. Mutasaddiqin. Okay, another important point linguistically, you see this mutasaddiqin here is mutatahhirin in other places, and this is the person who's making effort to do that thing, okay? Mutatahhirin is a very important word on the same scale, the person who seeks to get into state of tahara, okay? Why is it important? Because there's a rule that people have mistakenly put into practice, and that is that no one can touch the mushaf unless they're in a state of tahara, meaning wudu. There is no such rule. And they say, well, Allah says in the Quran, la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun, right? Yeah, that's mutahharun. That's not mutatahharun. Allah never mentions in the Quran, not even once, referring to people as mutahharun. But whenever he mentions mutahharun, he mentions people in Jannah. Right? لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَةٌ. Right? مُطَحَّرَةٌ. Not مُتَطَحَّرٌ. Okay? Says, no one will touch it except the مُطَحَّرُونَ. Right? مُتَطَحَّرُونَ. Here, we see that the مُتَطَحَّرُونَ يَتَطَحَّرُونَ. This is only used for humans when they make wudu or get in the state of tahar. Don't touch your wives until يَتَطَحَّرْنَا. Same scale. Allah tells us, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, when we make wudu, when we make the dua, what's the dua? Allahumma ja'alna minat tawwabina wa ja'alna minal mutatahhirin. Make us amongst those who make tawbah and make those who mutatahhirin, seek to become in a state of tahara. That's for humans. Mutatah, not mutaha. Okay? So knowing the scales in the Arabic language, the language scales, the form of the words, is part and parcel of understanding what's being spoken of. Here he says, they say, mutasaddiqin, those who are seeking to give sadaqah, who strive to give sadaqah. Okay? He says, inna Allah yajizi Allah, he rewards those who seek to give charity. So we learn something more about Allah here in this ayah, because he says, "Inna Allah." The fact of the matter is that Allah, he does this, and this is a fact now. And we can become amongst those who mutasaddiqin, who are trying and seeking to give sadaqah in order to get the reward from Allah. So they pleading with him. What does he do? Yusuf says, قال هل علمتم ما فعلتم بيوسف وأخيه إذا أنتم جاهلون. He says, هل علمتم, have you not learned? Have you learned your lesson basically from what you all did to Yusuf and his brother when you all were ignorant? When y'all was acting ignorant, y'all come here now, you're humble. Other times y'all were arrogant. إِذَا أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا, they responded, أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. Listen to that. أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. Look at it. A is a question. Inna, that's double emphasis. La, another emphasis. Yusuf. Anta, the third one. Yusuf. All is, he could have said, Anta Yusuf. All right? But they said, A'innaka la anta Yusuf. This is like a triple emphasis right here. So it's like, A'innaka la anta Yusuf? You? You're Yusuf? There all this time? He responds, call her Ana Yusuf. He doesn't need to say, Innani Ana Yusuf. He's the Aziz. He's going to have to prove anything. He doesn't put any emphasis. You see how many emphasis they put? But he only says, Ana Yusuf. Wahada Akhi. And this is my brother, the Mud. He's calling for him to come out. Because brother, he's letting his brother be in the majesty of the king or the life of the palace with himself. But he just moved him out the room when his brother's come in. So he says, Wahada Akhi. And his brother comes in. Okay. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has blessed us. مَنَّ اللَّهُ. This word مَنَّ اللَّهُ is used in the Quran. Every time it's used, it's used how Allah, not every time, but most of the times it's used, is when Allah has given you something. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Right? فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. They used to be ignorant like that before, that Allah, مَنَّ اللَّهُ, He blessed you. Okay? فَتَبَيِّنُوا. So just make it plain. Okay? Don't do, you know, مَنَّ وَأَذَى. Don't go over saying, you know, mentioning what favors you did to people and annoying them. Okay, but here he says, قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has blessed us. Okay, alhamdulillah. Then he says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So we go back to the theme of the whole story. And the theme is wrapped up right here in this one line here. إِنَّهُ, the fact of the matter is, he, إِنَّهُ, the one who, man, whoever, the one who yattaqi, has taqwa, wa yasbir, and he has sabr. Fa inna Allah, so then as a result of his taqwa was sabr, fa inna Allah la yudi'u ajr al muhsinin. So Allah will not allow the reward, the good things, the good deeds of the one who does ihsan to go to waste. Ajr al-muhsinin. So taqwa and sabr are part and parcel of having ihsan and being a muhsin. And then a muhsin is someone who is trying to impress Allah and no one else. The one who is a muhsin is the one who worships Allah ka'annahu tara yarahu, as if he can see Allah. But even though he knows he cannot see Allah, we know he cannot see Allah, he knows that Allah sees him. So he acts in accordance to that. This is the muhsin. He's trying to show off to Allah and no one else. Okay? Knowing that Allah will never allow any of the reward that is due, the good that he does, to go to waste. And it takes some years, it may take whatever, Allah will reward him. And this is the theme of the whole story. The vicissitudes of life. It doesn't make a difference in the end. In the middle, no matter what, Allah will never allow the reward of the one. Man yattaqi wa yasbir, fa inna Allaha la yudi'u ajr al muhsinin. That's the root. That's the whole theme throughout the story. And you can place that wherever you want to. What do they say? Now, this is a big, you know, thing going on right here. Kalu, they say, Tallahi laqad atharaka Allahu alayna wa in kunna lakhati'een. Remember the word khati'een, right? Remember when the wife of the Aziz, when he caught her and he busted her and he saw that his shirt was kudda min dubirin, he says, "Wa in anti khati'een, you wrong." Same word. The language is kept is repetitive here. They say, Kalu, they acknowledged. Laqada says, Tallahi, we swear by Allah. Tallahi laqada atharaka Allahu alayna. Allah has athara. An athar is the impression. Let's say you're walking on a beach and you walk and you see the footprints in the sand. That's your athar. Okay? The signs of Allah are on you. Okay, Allah has favored you. We can see this word, atharakallahu alayna. We can see that you, the effects of Allah on you more than over us. Okay, we can see that on you over us. Wa in kunna, wa inna kunna. And we have without doubt been lakhati'ina. So the in here is a short version of inna. And the la goes with inna. So it's like, wa inna kunna lakhati'ina. Wa in kunna lakhati'in. And we have been wrong. We were wrong. Okay? In kunna lakhati'in. They have acknowledged it. That's all. Four words. Wa in kunna lakhati'in. All they had to say. That's it. This is it. قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. He doesn't even, you don't have to say anything else. They don't say, we're sorry. They say, we were wrong. He says, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Immediately he makes dua for him. From amongst the fawa'id in this particular ayah is the ulama say how easy it is for young people to forgive. As when they went to Yaqub, he said, nah, sa'astaghfirullahu lak. I'll make dua for you later on, not right now. Okay? He waited. But you see how quickly Yusuf said, la tathrib alaykum al-yawm. Nah, no problem. We got no problems. No one's going to call you to account. No harm will come to you. No revenge will be upon you. No signs of this problem will be la tathrib alaykum al-yawm. Yaghfirullahu lakum. That's grand. Okay? That's grand, literally. He's a king and he's acting in a kingly facet. I don't have nothing to prove by taking revenge on you guys. I don't need to. I'm good. Okay? What's the problem? La tathrib alaykum. No problem. What has happened was the qadr of Allah. Y'all didn't do nothing. You were wrong. But it's all the qadr of Allah. And everything I've been through has been good to me. Right? But why do I want to take revenge? You're my brothers. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. May Allah forgive you all. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And so, and he's reminding them, and it's reminding us. And Allah is, was, and always will be, wa huwa arhamur rahimin. And he is the most merciful of all those who have mercy. Again, turn to Allah. Know that Allah is extremely merciful. Hey, extremely merciful. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The most merciful of all those who have mercy. And he says to them, idhabu biqamisi hadha. They tell him the situation of his father. That's what's plain here. They explain to him, look, our father is gone blind with grief. So what he's doing? Take his shirt off. Idhabu biqamisi hadha. Take this shirt. Rest one right here. Fa'alquhu ala wajhi abi. And put it on my father's face. Let him smell it. Just put it on his head. Yati basira. And his vision will come right back. Okay? That's all he needs. وَاتُونِي بِأَهْلِكُمُ أَجْمَعِينَ. and come bring to me. Come, watuni. Y'all come to me with your whole entire family. Bring everybody. Ajma'in. I'll take care of everybody. That's, now that's grand. That's character. That's a muhsin. Not only am I not going to charge you, I'm going to take care of everybody. Go back, get your family. And there's no sign of jealousy. There's no sign of revenge, hasid, hiqt, anger, bitterness. Nah, none of that. Just take care of the issue. Save my father from the grief that he's in, our father. And you guys come and go get your families. Come back. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And Yaqub, it says, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمُ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونِ. He says, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ. So when the caravan or the horse or the camel that took off, because it goes this way in the tafsir, that the oldest son, the one who had stayed away, he took the shirt. And he jumped on a horse or a camel and headed straight out. And the rest of them got into a caravan to go. Okay? And he's rushing to get back to his father. They're coming on the regular speed. Okay? As soon as he sets out, Abuhum qal, Yaqub, way back wherever he's at, he says, I got a whiff of Yusuf. He knows the smell of his son. He catches it in the air. If y'all would only, yeah, like, not just look at me as an old, you know, uncouth, uneducated man. You know, you'll look at me like some just delirious man just talking out his mouth. Okay? If you would only not just, you know, look at me in this disrespectful way, you would understand that I smell Yusuf. He's on his way. Okay? And we'll pick up the story at that point, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow. Inshallah ta'ala. Almost at the end of the story. It's a beautiful story. And inshallah ta'ala, then we'll go through and I'll show you the 100 points that we can extract from this story. Inshallah ta'ala. Or more, inshallah. So if there are any questions, I'll take them at this point. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Sheikh, from the response of Yusuf alayhi salam, can we take the lesson he forgave them only because? After they repented? What about those who don't repent and continue to wrong us? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yusuf forgave them. We can see that he forgave them because they came to him and he said something to them because of that. But you can also see that he didn't carry any grudge against them even before they said anything. Okay? He still was trying to be kind to them and take care of their needs. The only thing that he did to them that was underhanded was when he used the trick to get his brother. And that was to save his brother from their dhulm. Okay? But even before and after that, he did everything to take care of them and didn't show any type of, anger towards them. Okay? So, I don't hold that the others have to repent in order for me not to hold a grudge against them. In order for me not to ask for Allah to forgive them. The reason why is we have another ayah in the Quran where Aisha radiallahu anha, she speaks about this. We have tafsir from her on this particular ayah. But the ayah goes, is a dua in actuality. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمِنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. So, amongst the major sins are the sins of the heart. The shirk, israr, and two, despair and feeling safe so you don't care. These are the four major sins of the heart. Okay? You can go review the book, the Al-Kaba'ir, the major sins, and or spiritual warfare. We have to protect our hearts from these major sins. Amongst the major sins is hating, having hasad, hikd, and gil, and holding a grudge against our own, even if it's not our blood brother, but even if it is our blood brother, holding these types of grudges. It's not from the believer, the muhsin, to hold a grudge against another Muslim, period. If another Muslim hates me, doesn't like me, offends me, I don't care. You know, or if I do care, I don't care enough not to forgive him. As soon as I learn about it, or even if I never learn about it, okay? I encourage you to forgive that person and to make dua for them whenever you can remember. And the dua to remember is this one here. Rabbana ighfir lana, our Lord, forgive us. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina, forgive us and all of our brothers. Alladhina sabaquna bil iman, those who have preceded us in iman. Wa la taj'al fi qulubina, and don't place in our hearts gillan, grudges, feeling of grudge. Lilladhina aminu, for those who believe. Rabbana, our Lord, anta innaka anta ra'ufur rahim, you and only you are the ra'uf, kind and extremely merciful. So from that dua and the language therein, we can extract that it's not that we're asking Allah not to put a grudge in our hearts. And that grudge is carrying around a bad feeling towards another believer. Okay? Don't do it. What are the sins? What are the What are the downfalls for holding a grudge against another Muslim? And what is the benefit of having this stance that I'm promoting you to you? First of all, you're turning to Allah and asking Allah to remove it. So it's admittably that it may be hard. You might hold a grudge and you're asking Allah to remove it. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا, and don't put it in our hearts. So you're making dua for you and everyone else as well. Okay? Include me in there with your intention. So we're asking Allah for help. Asking Allah to remove it for us. Take that bad feeling out of our mouth and out of our heart. The benefits is from another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you like to see a man who's going directly to Jannah, look at the next man that walks in the masjid. And the next man that walked in the masjid was a sahabi, but he wasn't a remarkable sahabi. We don't even know his name. He wasn't even a remarkable person in history. The sahaba didn't think much about him in this regard. So Ali goes and hangs out with the guy and spends the next day with the guy. And he says, you know what? I told you that I had a problem with my father. I really don't have a problem with my father. I just want to spend some time with you, because the Prophet ﷺ said that you are a man that's going directly to Jannah. And I want to see what you did, but I don't see that you did anything remarkable. Could you tell me what it could be? And the man says, well, I only do what you see. You know, I haven't done anything different. So what you see is what you get. And I don't see what I do any different than anybody else. And then he thought about it and said, you know what? There is one thing I do that I make sure that every night before I go to bed, I forgive everybody. I ask Allah to forgive everybody. And I don't hold no grudges. No grudges against no believers. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, that's it. This is the issue. That's the distinguishing factor. So we can extract from the Salaf, because this is the statement of Ali, this is the statement, a mentality, understanding of a Sahaba. The Prophet didn't say how come that man was, but the Sahaba, the wise judge like Ali, felt that it was. That was the reason. And that's good enough for us because we follow the understanding. See, his understanding, the understanding of the Salaf. That's what we're talking about when we say take from the Salaf. Take their understanding. He understood that not holding a grudge was the distinguishing factor that made this man so special that he's going directly to Jannah. I want that. I want that. Okay? So I don't hold no grudge. I don't care if the guy calls me all types of whatever he calls me. If he's a believer, I forgive him. Her, them, all of them. I don't care what they've done to me. I ask Allah to forgive them and not hold them to account at all. Okay? For having anything and forgive me. And that, I don't have no grudge. And this has been my stance because I believe in that hadith. The another reason that I tell you guys to do this. Lighten your load, Yawm al-Qiyamah. You have beef with somebody? Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah is going to make you come together and solve it. Why waste time? I don't want that to stop me from going to Jannah. We can end it here. May Allah forgive you. Forgive them. I don't have a problem. You understand? There's another hadith that says that when people are about to go into Jannah, Allah is going to say to them, don't let these two in. Leave these two until they reconcile. Leave these two until they reconcile. Leave these two out of Jannah until they reconcile. Well, I'm reconciling now. I'm not waiting till then. I don't have a problem. I totally forgive everybody that has a problem with me or said or did in anything. Abu Tawbah has totally blanketly done it. The other reason, third or fourth reason, if you like, from our aqidah, we know that Allah descends to the lowest heaven or the lowest sky at the last third of every night. And he says, who is up asking for forgiveness that I can forgive him? Who is up making dua for something that I can give it to him? And he answers their dua, and he forgives them, except for the person who has not forgiven his brother, and he still has a grudge against him. You didn't forgive him, so Allah won't forgive him or you. So this is every day. We're not getting a forgiveness if we're holding a grudge against somebody else. Allah didn't say the person was wrong, that he wasn't right to, well, how can I word it? That he wasn't wronged by the other person. That wasn't the question. That's not the issue. The issue is that he was holding a grudge or she was holding a grudge against someone else, against another Muslim, another believer. So his dua, his forgiveness was not accepted. His repentance was not accepted. I don't need that. You don't need that. I need all the forgiveness I can get. I need all the accepted repentance I can get. I'm not going to let some petty grudge stop me from getting the massive mercy and forgiveness of Allah. They don't compare. You know, they do not compare. So I suggest to you guys, don't be petty. Now, some people have told me some serious crimes that have been committed against them. I've spoken to some women who've told me that family members have raped them when they were children, and they remember. Don't worry about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will requite you. Allah will do you better. The person who got the worst life that we can imagine in this dunya won't remember it on Yawm al-Qiyamah, due to the massive joy that he'll be in. And Allah's messenger tells us that hadith. He'll be asked, how was your life? He says, nothing but good. Nothing but good. So don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about it. Trust in Allah. Tawakkal, put your whole trust in Allah. Allah got you. Ya Sheikh, is it to ask for forgiveness and act accordingly? I do not understand the question, Mr. Yusuf. Is it to ask for forgiveness and act accordingly? I don't know what you mean. please ask it a different way. Does not holding grudges only apply to Muslims, believers? Yes, this only applies to Muslims, believers. As for the kafir, may Allah put him in Jahannam. As Allah says, he doesn't forgive. In Allah yaghfiru, everybody. Allah forgives everyone. So there's another reason. This is from the sifat of Allah. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bi. Allah does not forgive the one who makes shirk with him. So this not forgiving is for the kuffar, those who make shirk for Allah. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalik, but he forgives everything less than that. Liman yasha, to whomsoever he wants to. Okay, so alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, this hold not holding grudges only applies to believers. Okay, alhamdulillah. I hope that answers the question. May Allah make it easy for all of you all. Alhamdulillah. And another reason is that you don't know how many people you've offended, right? Maybe you've offended people and they're holding, you know, a grudge against you. You want them to forgive you, right? And that tuhibbu and Allah yaghfir lakum, you know. So maybe if you forgive enough people, Allah will forgive you. Okay? Yusuf did not hold a grudge, but he acted accordingly. I don't, you know, that's too vague of a statement. Yusuf did not hold a grudge. I do agree with you. But as far as acted accordingly, he's a prophet of Allah. So, of course, he acted accordingly. What was the actual thing that he did? Well, you know, he took care of his family in that regard. I guess so. Alhamdulillah. That's all we have time for today. Alhamdulillah. I hope that you all enjoyed today's lesson in tafsir. We only have a little bit left for the camel shamel of the story, but we still have more time left. Okay, to learn. And inshallah ta'ala. So I hope that you will take the time to learn the full language of the surah, the messages that are within it, and apply it in your life and the joy that you get from listening to the story. Okay? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم.